everybody. This is Andy Marquette. I am joined by my colleague and friend, Jove Bell. We are Women in Words. And Jove, we totally fucked up last week.
Was it a fuck up, really? Was it really?
Both of us were like, oh shit, we forgot to record.
Yeah. You know what? We have to be allowed to have a bad day now and again. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. I mean, legit, I was on the road and I couldn't record a podcast myself because I was using my work laptop and I don't have, you know, the capability to do that sort of thing on my work laptop.
Yeah. And the two of us couldn't get together until
you had shit going on. It was just like, oh, fuck, what the hell? So you guys, dear listeners, sorry. We totally fucked up.
We really are sorry. We want to be better. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
we want to be better. We do want to. Whether we'll get there is another
matter. You know what? This is something that I do for fun. And if it's stressful, guess what? Stress isn't fun, right? Truth. So, you know, I love hanging out and I love doing this, you know, but I'm not about, you know, making myself crazy over it. So that's what I think.
I like that attitude. So, dear listeners, we do apologize, but you know what? We just couldn't. That's all I got.
I purposefully, when we set up the channel, I purposefully set it up without ads. We're not getting paid. This is a labor of love. It will remain a labor of love, just like the blog. And, you know, so yeah. I think, you know, because of that, I feel like, you know, that gives us a little more room to be human, frankly. Oh,
I feel so validated. Thank you, Jill.
You're so human, Andy.
So, all right. So, anyway. Joe, do you have a story for us?
I do. I'm very, very pleased. Okay. I've got so much because we haven't talked in like 2 weeks.
But I know, right?
Noah, my Noah, who's quite the artist, as you know, has turned his art into a cottage industry wherein he takes commissions and paints things for people and sells them.
Good for Noah.
I know, right?
Did you set him up with the Patreon or something?
No, this is all him. This is, he goes to school and he shakes down his little classmates.
Oh my God.
And they place orders. And yeah, isn't that just the most wonderful thing ever? I love it.
That is insane.
It's so cool. And he's just as all, Mom, they're going to, my friend ordered this and my friend ordered this. And every single time I talk to the kid, somebody ordered something. So there you go.
Wow. Look at that. Entrepreneur already. Yeah.
And then, okay. And here's that was a short story. So I'm going to tell you a second story, but it's also equally short. Okay. You know, I got a lathe for Christmas. And
I do, because it's kind of sexy the way you talk about it.
Yeah, I love my lathe. I love it so very much. And what am I trying to say here, Andy? Oh, I finally was able to make some pens, which, by the way, dear listener, making a pen on a lathe is a lot fucking harder than it sounds.
It is, right?
Yeah, because you're working with, you know, not even 2 millimeters worth of wood. Right? When you get down to the final product, it's very, 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 very thin. And it's very, very easy to have the whole thing go shatter and break.
Oh, no.
which happens. But at this point, I've made one for each of my kids. Right? And Wyatt refuses to go to school without his pen. So every day when he gets home from school, he puts his pen on the kitchen table. And every morning before school, he like goes and he picks it up and he puts it in his pocket and takes it with him. Isn't that adorable?
That is so cute.
Yeah. His is made out of walnut, so it's a dark brown. It's very, very pretty. Walnut makes a nice, nice pen.
Wow. So what other wood are you using?
Oh, I've got elm is really nice to work with. I've got some zebra wood, but I'm afraid to work with it yet because it's kind of, you know, I don't have very much of it. But elm is really nice. Ash is really nice. Maple. Maple, super nice. Yeah. I've got a bunch of stuff. I got some.
So you get the wood, right? And yeah. So you do the lathing thing, and have you got the pen innards?
Yeah, you order them in a kit.
Oh, okay.
Frankly,
okay.
It'd be cheaper just to order pens. The pen kits are really fucking expensive. Yeah, but there's
something so cool about having like a wooden pen. You know? I don't know.
Oh, I'm very excited to do it, and I'm very excited that my kids think that it's cool. Like that makes my whole fucking year, right? But yeah, it's not easy. I destroyed the first, I want to say, five that I tried to do, including the innards, not just the wood part, but because you know it involves steps, many steps, and whatever. Mm-hmm. But then, oh, and I sent a couple. Oh, I can't say. Well, yes, I can. Today's Friday. Yeah, I sent a couple to Angela Grace, our resident therapist and life coach. I sent one to her and one for her wife. Yeah, because you know, I love them. They're so good to me. They take very good care of me and my family in general. So yeah.
So where can we see pictures of these pens, though?
Oh, I don't have any pictures.
Oh, you've got to start posting pictures on Facebook or something.
Nah, but you know what
I will do at some point? Dear listeners, don't you think that Jove should post photos of her pens?
I will at some point, Andy Marquette, send you one. And if you decide to share pictures, then that's up to you. Oh, yeah. No, all of my people are going to get a pen. it's so much fun to do. And it's like, you know, it's this cool gift that you make it with love, right?
Yes. Yes.
And it costs like less than $10 to make, way less than $10. So you can make one $5, $4, depending upon how you get the blanks, right? But it's worth so much more than that. It's just cool.
Yeah, it's super cool.
So,
you could like open an Etsy store. You could be like one of those.
Oh God, no. You know what? People who make pens to sell, they are so talented. And I'm not talking about, like, I'm not doing anything fancy. I'm not doing anything that's, like, part wood and part epoxy. Mm-hmm. Or I'm not doing anything with inlays. I'm not doing anything fancy. Like, when I say $4, I'm talking about, like, I get the cheapest of everything and put it together and whatever. And it involves a lot of swearing and a lot of time and a lot of broken things. And a whole lot of smiling because it makes me really, really happy. So.
Hell yes.
Anyway. That's my thing.
We all need things.
We do need things. We absolutely need things. And if you don't have a thing, I strongly encourage you to get a thing.
Go find one.
Oh, hey. Speaking of getting a thing. I'm going to say something vaguely political.
Oh, shit. All right. Wait, I have my beer. Go for it.
Well, we've talked about Indivisible before, right? So Indivisible is just this organization that their entire purpose is to teach you how to get organized and be effective as, you know, a member of your community in terms of, like, politics, right? So elections.
Yes.
So how to be an effective person.
True fact.
Right? And they're very, very good at what they do. And they have set up this... this thing, their Indivisible Pledge, right? Do you know what I'm speaking?
I've heard of the pledge, but I'm not sure about all the details.
Yeah, I'm trying to get, okay. So the Indivisible Pledge is, there's two different versions. There's one that's for average everyday citizens, and it's a 3-point pledge. And then there's a 3-point pledge also for the people on the Democratic ticket who are running for president. But here's the one for the, like, average everyday citizen. It says, we must defeat Donald Trump. The first step is a primary contest that produces a strong Democratic nominee. The second step is winning the general election. We will not accept anything less. To ensure this outcome, I pledge to make the primary constructive, and then underline, rally behind the winner, and do the work to beat Trump at a grassroots level. And it, you know, it gives you all the things that you need to do to make these things happen.
That's totally cool.
I love this pledge because it's very specific. It's not like, we promise to be nice. It's very, like, these are the three things, and it tells you how to do these things, like what they expect. Anyway, I signed mine today, and I think that you should all go out and sign it. It's at just at pledge.indivisible.org. So there's one for the candidates too, but it's different language, and it basically,
speaking of politics, and I really fucking hate speaking of politics these days, but one of the things that I want to, especially young people, dear young people, if you are listening, and I say this all the time, don't, you know, I understand the push and the need to replace the top leadership, but what people don't really understand is that real change can be affected on the state and local levels.
Mm-hmm.
Too often people pay more attention to the federal, and I've been telling people this since 2016, the federal's a lost cause.
Right now it is.
It's a flaming dumpster fire. And it's getting worse. It's going to get even worse. But your state and city and town, county, wherever you happen to live, those are the officials that will also affect you directly.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I remember my mom telling me this back in the day. She noticed a trend. She noticed that a lot more super uber, like, right-wing extremist people started running for local offices and stacking school boards, mm-hmm. stacking city councils, stacking state legislatures. It's not by accident, friends, that there are something like 36 states now that are all conservative run.
Mm-hmm.
That just didn't come out of nowhere.
Oh, I mean, no, that's like a platform for, yeah, the Republican Party came up with that and executed it really, really well.
Good at it.
Yeah.
And progressives, I'm just going to put this out there because I've been studying this shit for years. Progressives suck at that kind of long-term planning. If progressives want to stay in the game, they need to realize that they may not realize their dreams for a few years. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't be investing just short-term little things. You need to go all in for the long term. That's how the Republican Party and the conservative ideology in this country, that's how they did it, and they're really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
So invest locally. Pay attention to your state races. Pay attention to your city council and your county races. That's where you can start making real change, and that's where you get training as having experience in government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can become a state legislator. These are not things that are out of your reach. It is not rocket science to run for office. Effect real change at that level, okay? So once you get your state and your city and your county back where it needs to be and working for everybody, not just the rich white people in the world, then we can start really making those changes. So I get it. Yes, go for it. We need to get the dickhead out of office, but do not focus on just that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what was really cool with the Indivisible Pledge for the candidates? It says a bunch of things, but one of the things, it's 3 points, but the one point that really impressed me and made me the happiest was that it's, you know, once a nominee is selected by the national party, you will get on board and support that person and do everything you can to help that person mm-hmm. be mm-hmm. elected, right? That's a big deal for a candidate, because that was a huge issue mm-hmm. in the last election. And guess who was the first candidate to sign that pledge?
I don't know.
Bernie Sanders.
When did this drop?
It's new. It's really new. I want to say it's like within 2 weeks. But isn't that cool? Because, you know.
2 weeks?
Yeah, within 2 weeks.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well, right on. So anyway.
Like half of the 21 Democrats have signed it.
How many more? Is it 21? Are we up to 21 now?
We're 21 right now. The last guy to sign on was the dude from Colorado. And then...
okay.
So, but there's a few more who are expected to sign up. So we'll see mm-hmm. how that goes. I don't know. I just think that it's fucking awesome. Because it doesn't matter. Historically, we do very, very well when we have more candidates. The more we have going into the primary, the better the end results in the regular election is. So
right,
mm-hmm. and
it's just you guys. The point being, friends, you know, you can't just expect that others are going to do this for you.
Mm-mm.
Every one of us needs to step up and be civically engaged. Yeah, that's the lesson.
Work. Do the work.
That is the lesson. We can't just sit back and go, oh, well, everything will be okay, because clearly it will not.
Yeah. And there's some really, really cool people, you know, signing on, you know, on the Democratic ticket. Really, really cool people vying for that. I mean, you know, Kamala Harris, you and I were talking about that. I'm talking about her and how, you know, that would make us all sorts of happy if she were elected. I would vote for her. But there's a bunch of other people on that ticket that I would vote for.
There's a lot of really interesting candidates with a lot of really cool shit to say. And there's a lot of younger, dynamic candidates. Thank fucking God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, my God. So, again, it's not rocket science to run for office.
Yeah.
You can be effective doing it. But if you don't want to run for office, if that's not your gig, at least be aware of what's happening locally, federally, state level, so that you can make informed decisions with regard to how you yourself are being governed.
Yeah.
You know, government, you know, civic engagement is not just voting once every 2 or 4 years. It's like being aware of what policies are being passed, how they're affecting your fellow community members, and what needs fixing in your communities.
Mm-hmm.
That's civic engagement. And it takes time and it takes attention, and you cannot expect others to step up for you. You have to step up too.
Well, and the thing is like, I think people are oftentimes afraid to even begin the conversation, because if you feel like you're not prepared, if you're not educated, you feel like you're going to, you know, you're going to be embarrassed because you don't know the answers and other people are more connected or whatever. I don't care if I know the answers or not. If somebody's talking about an interesting issue, I'm going to be a part of that conversation and I will learn.
Right.
I will ask questions and I will learn. So nobody's expecting you to know all the answers right now. That doesn't mean you can't be part of the conversation. My library, because I love my library, as you know, is hosting a series of classes. And I say series, it's not a series. They're not taking place in sequential order. They're just a bunch, you know, the same class over and over in many different locations. But it's all about how to have a conversation across the aisle. So it's specifically intended for political content with people whose views are on the opposite side of the aisle of yours. How to engage that in a positive, constructive way.
Isn't that cool? Hey, at this point, you know, let's do it, because this shit ain't fixing itself.
Yeah.
So,
and we need to remember to talk to one another. It's not that fucking hard.
No. Well, yeah, in some cases it might be.
There are people I don't want to talk to, but
But anyway, okay, we got a little crazy there, friends.
Sorry, but go to the website and sign the pledge, because, you know, it doesn't take longer than about 12 seconds. And it's cool.
It is cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just stay engaged. You know, whatever your ideologies are, just be aware. I mean, God, progressives are the worst at staying engaged. You know, everybody's like, oh, yay, Obama's in office. Everything's fine. We'll be fine. The right wing has been building up their infrastructure since the late 70s, my friends.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a 50-year head start. Okay, so this shit doesn't happen overnight. This is what we're seeing now is the culmination of decades of work.
Oh, totally.
That's how dedicated they are. Mm-hmm. And if progressives don't have that kind of mojo, then we should just like step back and let them steamroll us, because clearly we have no business being in this fight if we're not even going to commit to doing stuff like that. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh, I'm going to talk about something else really cool. Is that okay? I know you know what this is, so maybe I'll let you talk about it. But supermajority.
Oh God. Oh wait, didn't that just launch?
Like 2 or 3 days ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
So supermajority is an organization that's specifically gauged, or you know, their purpose is to encourage politics for women. So politics that engage women's issues. Because, you know, we talk about how important reproductive rights are, but they never make it onto the actual, like, you know, the platform, like the political platforms, it never ever makes it to the big question. No changes ever take place, right? And but the, you know, so it's stuff like reproductive rights and healthcare and childcare and the fact that women still only make 80 cents on the dollar to men, and it's even worse if you're a woman of color, which is ridiculous because women of color run the fucking world, right?
Yeah, it's that they're trying to mobilize women across race, class, and generation. So that's why you have like Cecile Richards, who used to be the director of Planned Parenthood, and you've got Ai-Jen Poe, who
10 years in Planned Parenthood,
and Ai-Jen Poe and Alicia Garza, and I think Garza was one of the founders of Black Lives Matter.
Yes,
I'm right about that, right?
Absolutely. And Ai-Jen Poe she set up the National Domestic Workers Alliance,
that's right.
Which is it's not something that many of us are going to have heard of, but it's Tara just came. I'm so sorry. Tara just came to the window of my office and just like looked in, like all like it was creepy. Okay. Anyway, sorry. It's an important organization, and she's done like it's. This is just a powerhouse of female power, female organizers all in one place working together, and it's damn. I'm just saying.
It looks like if you're interested, the website is supermajority.com.
Mm-hmm.
And this, let me make sure it's the same one because otherwise, it looks like it's a grassroots organizing community as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this is the one. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like they took a page out of the whole Indivisible playbook.
Oh, man, they have like, some awesome folks. Jess Morales Rocketto is there. She's with the National Domestic Workers Alliance.
So is
Deidre Schiffling. She is with the Planned Parenthood Action Fund, or she was. The Civitas Public Affairs Group. That's Catherine Granger. Yeah, they got some good, fucking, strong, powerful women on this here situation.
It's cool. So it's impressive.
Supermajority.com. Check it out.
Yeah.
There's a lot of shit coming down the pike, my friends. And this is what I mean when I say stay engaged, because this administration especially, it likes to push things through like on Fridays, which are dead days politically and news speaking. For example, Health and Human Services just passed some really fucked up new rulings that say that if you're a healthcare worker, that you can basically deny care to trans people.
Oh, fuck.
Also, there are a lot of cases at the Supreme Court, which is made up now of, you know, a supermajority, speaking of assholes. and I say that kindly, right, of course. Some of the cases in front of the Supreme Court that they agreed to hear, and what that means is if they agree to take a case, that means they're going to rule on it, and that ruling will then set precedent. And one of those cases has to do with whether it's legal to fire someone for being transgender. And if this court rules that, hell yes, it is legal, guess what that does to LGBTQ rights across this country?
Oh. Yeah.
It enshrines discrimination. So,
yeah, there's that whole thing where we're going to have to fall back on whatever's going on in your state, right?
Right.
Pay attention to your state.
Again, pay attention to your state. But also, this is what, and a lot of young people, maybe at least in my generation, weren't thinking about, you know, when you voted for the federal people, you were also voting for federal judges, Supreme Court judges, and all kinds of other officials that are going to set policy that will have a direct effect on you. People don't link the courts to the presidential elections, and you really need to, because this court is going to set women's rights back 50, 60, 70 years, and it's setting LGBTQ rights back 20, 30, 40 years. Back to when I was growing up, when we had literally nothing, no rights. Yeah,
it's not even the Supreme Court that is the scariest thing. It's look at all the federal judges that have been in place and all the.
But the fact is, now that you have federal judges that won't advance cases, the Supreme Court is just as bad.
Oh yeah, no, totally.
You're not going to want to appeal to get anything tried because you will lose. So this for civil rights, what has happened, and people don't talk about this because they don't realize it or I don't know. This administration has set civil rights back at least 3 decades, at least. Mm-hmm. And that these people who have been appointed to these federal courts, my friends, they're going to be there for 40 or 50 years. Those are lifetime appointments.
Yeah.
Lifetime appointments. Let that sink in. Okay. This is why you vote for a president. You don't sit out a presidential election because you don't like either of the parties. You think about what's going to happen long term, and progressives suck at thinking long term. We really do. Start thinking long term. This is chess, my friends, not checkers.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we elected Obama, which I don't think anybody had any clue what a stress. But he's such
everybody sat back and was like, oh, finally, now we can sit back and yay, progressivism won. And nobody paid any attention to the infrastructure the right had built up around that.
Yeah. Well, no, I think we elected him and we just thought, well, I don't think anybody actually realized that he was a strategic genius. Tactically, he was okay, but in terms of strategy, so good, right? And we didn't do anything to strengthen that.
We're no, idiots. We did not. We did not. And anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, and now
moving
talk.
On.
Woo.
Oh. Let's talk about the fucking blog already.
Let's talk about the goddamn blog. Okay. April 29th, friends.
Yeah.
Yvonne Height joined us. Yvonne, where have you been? Oh my God. The title of her blog is Sex, Lies, Drugs, and Smartcast. And I'm like on board for all of that. So Yvonne points out that she had last month's blog rate waiting to go in the draft section and forgot to hit publish. Yvonne, honey, you can schedule it so you don't have to hit publish.
That's true.
Joe, we should like, we need to email her and just say, here's how you do that.
Oh my God. I'm pretty sure I've shown her how to do it. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. So the obstacle also has been sex, drugs, lies, and smartcast. And what that means is she's on and Yvonne's very open, my friends. We're not saying this because we're making it up and pulling it out of our heads. She is very open about her dealings with her mental health issues. Yvonne suffers from depression and I think anxiety as well. And she's open about these battles in the past. So we are not telling you anything that she would not tell you or has not already announced. Mm-hmm. In fact, she says right here, the combination of medications I'm on, and she has talked about her depression quite a bit, take away a girl's quote nature, meaning they kill your sex drive, friends. I mean, I have been on antidepressants and yeah, it's true. They fucking kill your sex drive.
Well, I don't think they all do, but definitely it's a potential.
Yeah. All the ones that I tried, 1, 2, 3. I was on 3 different ones and every single one of them killed my sex drive. So I was
on
for like 5 or 6 years and whatever. It was a trade off and I was trying to do my work anyway and it was good not to be distracted. That's my story.
Yeah, and if you're on the medication and it's killed the sex drive, you don't care that it's killed it because you don't want to do it.
Exactly. You're just like, I'm doing some work, I'm getting through this shit.
Yeah.
So basically, also, Yvonne has a smart cast and a very large flat screen TV, and she says that may be more dangerous than drugs because she has a super addictive personality. She says this, and she should have a doctorate when it comes to addiction.
Yeah.
And here's her smart cast. She's an addict. She'll abuse anything that looks, tastes, or feels good. Smart cast with Hulu, Netflix, and the watch free channels. I want to watch all the shows, and I want to watch them now. Can't find it, troll YouTube and Reddit. Once I'm numb, oh my God, it's so easy to stay there. So for someone who loves instant gratification, it's become dangerous. Feeling blue, turn on that season of Frasier. Feeling murderous, watch all the True Detective type stories. And I do mean all. I even watch the British ones. I'm like a zombie with the remote. Must watch. Want to watch that dance again on World of Dance? No problem. Rewind 7 times and have the identical reaction each one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? That might have been a bad idea to get Yvonne a smart cast.
Hey, you know, the whole idea, you know, the whole concept of like Netflix and Roku and Hulu, it's completely changed the way we are entertained,
yes.
the way mm-hmm. we watch TV, because mm-hmm. everybody binge watches. And I'm telling you, it is not healthy for me to be able to binge watch all however many bajillion episodes of Gilmore Girls. That's not healthy. It's not healthy for anyone. God damn if I'm not going to do it.
Y'all, I do sometimes binge if I'm like really like, you know, like this week, Joe, if you know, I am wiped out. This week has fucked me up.
Yeah.
And so I can go into my, I can easily just go and watch the second season of She-Ra, probably every single fucking episode until 4 o'clock in the morning. But normally what I do is if I'm really into a show, I will like watch one or two episodes in the evenings before I go to bed to clear my head.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I come home from work and then I work on my writing and publishing stuff. And then or maybe about 9, I will watch an episode of something. Yeah. And so that's how I work my way through a series. That's normally how I do it. But man, lately, I'll tell you what, I get you. I hear you, Yvonne. I feel you, man, because mm-hmm. I am totally using it as an addiction because I just can't. I'm exhausted. I'm wrung out and...
It's therapy to just sit there and watch whatever. But it's not, because you just turn into a goddamn zombie. It's not healthy.
I am going to say hi to Yvonne on this blog because I missed her.
I did too. I told her that
hi,
I loved her.
Yvonne!
I said, I love you.
We missed you.
Yeah.
Please be careful. Please be careful with the binge with the smartcast. Mm-hmm.
Come out of your shell because we love you.
Okay, thanks.
She's such a kick in the ass. Yvonne, we love you. We miss you.
Yeah. I'm so glad, though, that she's all right because I always kind of worry when I don't hear from her in a while.
No, I worry when I don't hear from anybody. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I know my tendency to go into hibernation, right? I know that about myself. So I assume that that's the same for everybody else, which, mm-hmm. by the way, dear listener, I have been and continue to fight that inclination. For the past, 2 or 3 months, and it's still ongoing. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
it mm-hmm. happens.
Preach,
yeah,
truth.
Anyway,
all right.
I need to make another trip to Texas to see Yvonne.
I know, right? Gosh, I'm really glad she like managed to remember to press publish.
Good job,
Yvonne. Okay.
No All right. kidding.
April 30th, Katie Williamson joined us. And she's talking representation here, representation in movies and TV,
mm-hmm.
people of color. And straight up, she's fucking right.
I haven't even read it, and I know she's right.
So she's talking, you know, let's go back to Star Wars episodes 4 to 6. Remember all those brown-skinned people that fought in the rebellion? Yeah, I don't either.
Well, there was Chewbacca.
Because they weren't there!
Yeah, the only brown character in Star Wars was fucking Chewbacca. That was it. And the Ewoks. And those are not people of color. No, I'm not. I'm saying that's why it's so sad. I'm not making the comparison. I don't think it's the same thing.
It's interesting you should bring up Chewbacca because Peter Mayhew, the actor who played Chewbacca, died today.
Oh.
Oh. He was 74.
Wow.
Wow.
Well,
yeah.
Well, I'm
so sad.
Oh, Lando Calrissian.
Well, she mentions him. She's good. Okay, yeah, we got the token black guy, Lando.
Yeah, well, yeah. And for the time, that was, you know, pretty fucking progressive because us white people.
Yeah, but then he turned out to be a dick and betrayed Han. So, yeah.
Well, so, you can have a black person, but you have to make him the bad guy.
That's shitty rep.
And yeah.
Katie
it's shitty. Yeah.
Says when Rey and Finn came along in that franchise, a lot of white men's heads exploded. A white man's supposed to save the world. A white man leads the charge. Everybody knows that. Apparently, brown people and heroic women don't really exist in space unless they wear a metal bikini or are the token in an all-white class. And let's not forget what happened to Kelly Marie Tran, who... for those not in the know, she was run off social media for her role in Star Wars. She was viciously trolled with racist and sexist attacks, and she had to shut down her social media accounts. Another example is The Walking Dead. They had a rotating door of black men, but never more than one at a time. The show has strong women. There is some diversity, but the black man, an endangered and dangerous species, according to many, was never around for long, and neither are the queer characters. She's so right. She's mm-hmm. absolutely right.
Yeah, no, the rotating black man in The Walking Dead has been, like, you know, If the white girl who lives a very, very privileged existence and, doesn't notice all the things that, because I have an extreme amount of white privilege, notices the rotating black man, that's a problem. They've
That's a
rotated
serious problem.
through a lot of them.
So let's talk it. Katie brings up Black Panther. There were documented attempts to derail that movie's success from white people posting on Twitter how they were assaulted for trying to watch the movie. There were
Oh my
many calling it
God.
racist because of the all-black cast in front and behind the camera. There was even an attempt at misinformation during filming with reports of squabbling behind the camera because, black people can't get along and there was no white savior. That movie
Yeah.
fucking rocked.
Oh yeah, it was so good.
If you have not seen Black Panther, get off your ass right now and go see it.
It's on Netflix right now. It's
There, you can
available on
stream it.
Netflix.
Freaking stream that fucker.
Do it.
Okay, now Katie says, let's look at Captain Marvel. She's white, but she just wasn't the right sex. Plus, the actor who plays her refused to pander to toxic fandom or be some empty shell that just smiled, nodded, and talked about how lucky she was to get such a role. She stood up and scared people. They swore to make the movie sink. They swore no men were going to see it. They swore blah, 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 blah. And when they didn't work and the movie made $1 billion, they tried to change the narrative. There was a white savior, but it's a she. The bottom line is that women, queer people, and people of color can be heroes. They can save the day. We do it for ourselves at times on every fucking level every day. We can survive the apocalypse. We can be part of a space race. We can lead a rebellion. We can do all that shit. Just get out of the way and let us.
Hey, don't forget
Hey,
about
don't.
Wonder Woman, also a woman hero. I'm just putting that out there because I love that.
Yeah, but she was in the Marvel universe, clearly, so.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about these things. I just know she's fucking hot. And she's, an
Anyway,
Amazon.
but that was also very little diversity in that movie. Most of the people coded white.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Except for there was the indigenous guy. And he had kind of almost a stereotypical role sort of,
Yeah,
but
yeah.
anyway, and I'm not I love that movie, but when we watch, especially as white people, if dear white people, if you are going to like movies like
I love
this,
that
like
show.
Captain Marvel and Wonder Woman and movies like that, pay attention to the other characters and the main character. Are they people of color? Are they queer? Are they women or women of color? If not, think about that and what that means for the millions of people who don't get the representation you do on screen. I say that wearing my awesome fucking Representation Matters t-shirt that I bought at Klexicon. So,
Nice. Hey,
anyway,
when you want
Katie,
to talk
thank
about
you.
no, listen, when you want to talk about the superpowers of black women, right?
Oh,
This is
God,
important.
save
Number one,
everything.
they run the world. But two, you know what black women have the power to do? Like, seriously, this is the
Survive.
demographic. No, they have the power to elect a president.
Yes, they do.
I
And
mean,
they fucking.
and they
That's what
did it.
I ask black women, like, legit. Is this dude legit or not? I mean, seriously, because sometimes I don't see the codes because of my privilege. So I pay fuck ton of attention to black women's Twitter. Oh my God, I am on that all the goddamn time, and I am learning so fucking much. I have like expanded my reading list. I have been reading a lot of black women's literature and fiction and nonfiction, and like also woke white people who literally are like, you need to stop this white fragility bullshit and step up. And so, yeah, I've just been trying to educate myself so much. And I'm just like, I have learned so much in the last, well, since the hellscape happened. And I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and I said, if nothing else, I mean, because I always try to find something that I can learn from every horrendously bad experience. And I learned so much about how race really does function in this country with this administration. I learned so much. I mean, that was systemic racism laid bare. I mean, if you thought there was no racism in this country before, here it is, right there. It's right there. And if you're white and believe we're post-racial or whatever the fuck, look around you. Look at the White House. It's called White House for a reason. Okay, I'm just kidding. It's called White House because it's white. But anyway, that's so meta.
But black women elected Obama. And black women
Good.
didn't elect Clinton, right? If we had had a candidate that black women could stand up and support, like, with enthusiasm, like they did Obama, Trump wouldn't be in the White House. Black women have that power. They do.
Black women, I mean, they the do. Reason that Senator Doug Jones, a white, allegedly progressive man in Alabama, was elected because of black women. Because Roy Moore is a clusterfuck.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having said that, guess who's leading the race against Doug Jones right now?
Who?
Roy Moore?
Are you kidding me?
No, I am not.
Oh, my goodness.
So there's going to be another, like, gross sexual assault, possible pedophile in the Senate.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Right?
I object to this story.
Yeah. Anyway, God, you know, what the fuck, Joe? Why do we keep going to politics? We gotta stop.
I know. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you. Representation.
This wasn't our fault. This was Katie's fault. She's the one that took us there.
Katie is fucking awesome.
She is awesome.
I have learned so much from her. I need to tell her that I've learned a lot from her.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that what's important, you know, since I re-engage with fandom too, I have learned so much from younger fans, and the way to learn, dear listeners, especially if you're white, is to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Do not attempt to steamroll people of color. When people of color are speaking, they're speaking because they want you to know something.
Oh my God, I saw this. It was an ad for some show. I can't even remember what it was. But this white dude gets, something happens to him. This black woman does something and, like, I don't know, hits him in the face with a shovel or something. I don't know. But he's like, you know, it's okay. I forgive you. And she's all, oh, I don't apologize to white people. So funny. I just laugh so hard.
But that's the point. Just listen. And when you're in space where you're trying to do ally work, listen. Don't mm-hmm. talk. Listen.
Don't be the loudest voice in the room.
If some dickhead white person starts trying to talk over black people, shut them down and give the floor back to people of color.
Yeah, for real.
For fucking real.
Or if somebody's talking over the woman who was talking.
Yes.
Shut it down and send it back.
Send it back. And, I mean, I have actually used this phrase. You know, I've been out with a bunch of different friends. And, you know, when somebody's acting like a douche, I will, if the most of the people I'm around are mostly people of color, I will say, I'm going to use my privilege now, all right? And I will shut some shit down.
Nice.
I will just be like, I'm stepping up. I'm using my privilege. We are going to deal with this racist clerk right now.
Mm-hmm. See, and that's the thing, right? I think it's totally it's totally an expression of your privilege as a white person, because you can step up and say what won't be heard from somebody else. But when you say, this is me using my privilege, you're identifying the elephant in the room. So I think
it's a tool.
Yeah. Doing it without saying that, I think, makes you look like, you know, you're mansplaining. Right.
Yeah, oh, but fuck yeah. That's, and we can have a whole show about that. Yeah. But anyway, let's not. Let's move on.
Let's do that.
to Carson Tate. May 1st, Mayday. Hi, Carson. How are you? Carson had a blast at Klexicon. I did see Carson once or twice at Klexicon, but they got really busy over at Gold Strokes. Congratulations, you guys. I'm glad you had a blast. Carson would like to give a shout out to a brand new Gold Strokes books author, Eden Derry. Her debut novel, The House, was just released, and it's a paranormal horror tale guaranteed to freak you out and get your blood going. So here's the description. Sadie, Finn, and their two children were a perfectly ordinary family, even if Finn felt taken for granted. Even if their introverted son, Liam, had terrible nightmares and knew things he shouldn't. Everything changes the night Sadie is viciously assaulted by a former client. He knows where they live, and when the police fail to catch him, Sadie and Finn are forced to run. They think they found the perfect place to start over. The house is everything Finn dreamed of, but as they settle in, Sadie discovers their home may not be what it seems, and their daughter Lucy's imaginary friend might not be imaginary.
Uh-oh.
Dun, dun, dun. So Carson did an interview with Eden during Women's Week last year in Provincetown, and she supplies the link right there, so go check that out and support new authors, friends. Yeah.
Do it.
Thanks, Carson. It was good to see you at Klexicon. I wish we could have had a few more. We were all trying to set up our tables and stuff, and Carson was like running around crazy. So I was like, yeah, girl, you do you. Do what you need to do.
Mm-hmm. She's cool, though.
She's really cool. Right on. And I did see Georgia Beers from afar, but, you know, afar. Like, she was, like, really busy, so I didn't get to, like, hang out with her. But anyway, hey, Georgia, I saw you. You can run, but you can't hide. I will find you. Anyway, all right, May 2nd, RG Emanuel had some cool-ass pictures for the 1939 World's Fair in Flushing Meadow Park in Queens. This is, her blog is World of Tomorrow. And so one of the things that RG likes to do, she's actually kind of a history buff, y'all. I know a lot of you don't know that, but she writes cool-ass historical fiction shit.
Yes, she does.
The Potion. Yeah. The Potion. Hello. If you have not read this gothic historical novel, why not?
You really
Amazon,
should.
Amazon. I'm going to pimp it right now. Amazon is running a special on The Potion right now. You can pick up a paperback or a Kindle copy for like $5, around $5. So go do it. Pick this book up. You will not be disappointed.
You won't. It's very good.
And Jove and I are like really picky.
Yeah. Well, I edited it, so I gave her a bunch of red and edited it within an inch of its life, and I'm sure she hated me during that process, but I invested that much time because I loved it. I enjoyed it. I love the use of language. It's so lush and beautiful. Mm-hmm. I want to be like her when I grow up.
I know, right? Mm-hmm. So let's talk her history buff side. She's talking that the 1939 World's Fair. And the fun thing about the World's Fairs were that, you know, you would have the fairground attractions, you get the rides and the food, but you also had expositions and displays for technology. And what they considered technology in 1939 is like, you know, two sticks that you rub together today, right, for fire. Mm-hmm. So a few of the tech advances in 39 were FM radio.
Nice!
Right? A walking, talking robot. That would have been cool in 1939. Am I right?
Hey, that's cool now. Right? Robots are always cool.
Fluorescent lighting and a facsimile machine, which is probably a forerunner to a fax machine.
Yes.
Well, how about that? This is 1939, okay?
That's pretty impressive. And
that day was also the first day of television broadcasting in New York. 1939, friends.
Nice.
So, our knowledge today, RG says, is substantially advanced. We can perhaps imagine new tech in a more limitless way, but we don't know everything that's going to come in the future. I'm sure even the most innovative, brilliant minds never saw the use of cell phones as not only communication devices, but TVs, computers, and everything. Mm-hmm. I'm sure today's geniuses cannot conceive of all the things that will be in the future. So, with regard to technology, how does this relate to publishing? There are three components: the writing, the publishing, and the reading. And so then she goes into a discussion of how things have sort of changed in each regard and how that has sort of changed writing.
Like, I dig it.
It's changed reading, for example, you know, audiobooks. You can now listen to books. You can read on a device of any size, well, whatever your heart desires.
Take it back a little bit further. I mean, you're talking about, you know, what is it? Mass, you know, the pulp books like that is a new, right, that wasn't available in 39. Right. So it's not even,
pulp fiction was a thing.
Like the printing, the ability to was it? I'm going to defer to you because you are my book historian. But I'm going to defer to you with a attached to it.
You know, because Edgar Rice Burroughs was writing pulp in magazines in the 20s and the teens.
No. I'm not talking about the genre. I'm talking about, you know, the mass market paperbacks, you know, like mm-hmm. Bebo Brinker, where it's basically a fall apart book. That type of printing is newer, right?
No. Okay, that's why it's called pulp. That's why it's called pulp, because it's cheap fucking pulp paper.
All right, fine. I'm just gonna stop talking. You do you. Keep going.
You know, I mean, you know, there were science fiction pulp novels were pretty big in the first half of the 20th century, and then of course in the second half they were as like you were talking about the Bebo Brinker, but yeah, and comic books too developed. I mean, wasn't Superman like 1949? I think so. Comics also were coming along,
And then all the changes in the publishing industry, and yeah.
Yeah, but that's kind of cool to think about, like mm-hmm. how publishing has changed and how the market has changed and how the relationships between publishers and authors have changed in terms of the technology and the platforms now available for communication, mm-hmm. for producing a book. Now you don't even need a pulp or a paper press. You can just do electronic
mm-hmm.
if that's what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. It's true.
So, anyway, so RG, like, brings this up, and she also talks about, you know, or thinks about what could be happening in the future with regard to reading. How is that going to change with technology? Like, are we going to have, like, you open a book, and the characters, like, jump out of the book and act out the story for you? I mean, it seems like there are limitless things that could happen, and what does that mean for reading and writing and publishing in general. I don't know.
What if they figure out how to do like sort of a live action book that's not a movie, it's still a book, but it has like the live action elements on those Oculus things? You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
Like there's so many things. But
there's so many interesting things. Like, and her point is you can't stop technology. So things are going to shift and change. But you and I and Michelle Teichman were having this discussion that print is still, I'm not going to say making a comeback.
It's resurging.
I think that younger people who, you know, are so attuned to their devices are discovering the quote unquote novelty, if you will, of a physical object like a book. And a lot of younger people at Klexicon wanted the physical object of a book.
Listen, all three of my kids, so from 30 down to 12, all three of them want their books in paper. All of them.
Which is really interesting, I think. Because I'm all like, download, so I can carry like 900 books with me wherever I go.
Yeah. Oh, I'm with you. Because, you know, the electronic gives me audiobooks. But all of my kids, nope. They want...
That's super interesting.
I think it's cool. They're not even trying to be retro. They just, you know, prefer the feel in their hands.
Well, that was the number one comment I got from younger readers at Klexicon, was they like to hold a book.
And they like to
and
smell
I just
a
thought
book.
That was really interesting. I just, you know, because that's one of the things that older readers say too. They like the feel of a book. And so what somebody came by the table and she was looking at the book. I assume it was she. I mean, she looked female, but I didn't ask what her pronouns were. They were looking at the book. We'll just
go
with that.
Yeah, there you go.
And I said, it'll fit in the cargo pocket of your shorts. And so they like took the book and they put it in their pocket. Holy shit, it does. And I was like, that's why we did that.
That's why we picked that size, folks.
So that you can put it in a pocket or a backpack really easily or a small bag. And it's not going to take up as much room as a lot of other books.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were pretty stoked about that, actually.
It's a selling point. It's totally a selling point.
I think it is. Yeah. Oh, my God. Anyway.
So,
thank you, RG. So, yes. So, she's kind of a history buff. Anyway. Fun stuff you probably didn't know about RG Emanuel. Okay. May 3rd. That was me. And I was fucking exhausted. I didn't feel like talking about Captain Marvel. Although, my colleague, Lise McTague, and I did talk about Captain Marvel in the Les Geek Out podcast. I'm just saying. Fun Stuff Friday. And that means 10 things that, I mean, because it's a shit show. The world is a shit show. It's okay to laugh, to take some time for self-care and to laugh. So I provided some things that I hope are kind of funny or some ideas for you to maybe get out of your head a little bit and find some self-care. Some of the things are Shazam, the movie. Seriously, go see this movie. a board game night with your friends. When was the last time you had all your friends over and played just board games?
Oh, right? We do that.
I know you do, but not everybody does. And one of my favorite stupid whiling away times is those videos of people in T-Rex costumes doing...
I didn't even know this was a thing. I'm so excited about this.
Oh my God, it's the best. It is the best. Oh my God.
You introduced me to the best things.
Oh my, it's just hilarious. Okay. Music, dancing if you're able. Listening to music if you're able. I always find music really, really soothing for me. It just helps. And this video I have is one of my very favorite videos. This dude has to be in his late 50s, early 60s, and he tears it up to Post Malone. You got to see this dude. He is amazing. And I'm like, that is what I want to be like at that age.
You know, what works for me is I love to sing. It's like therapy for me. I love to sing. And do you know what I get when I try and sing in the car or anywhere in my house?
Oh, God. Do people, like, not validate you?
You know, in the past, it's always been really cool. But now that Wyatt and Noah are, like, old enough to have opinions, all I get is no.
That ain't right.
It's terrible. And I'm like, you know, I used to love it when my mom sang. And they said, yeah, that's great. You're not your mom. No. I love my kids. I love that they feel like they can say those things to me. It makes me really happy, actually.
But that ain't right, Job.
No, it's not. Could you tell them?
You should be able to sing if you want to.
Anyway.
Legit. Anyway. You should only be able to sing if you want to.
I think so.
But music, I mean, it helps. No matter what form, if you're able. I understand that some people may not be into it or they're not able. And if that's
some
the case.
Some people are told no.
Yeah, and if that's the case, just find your groove, man, whatever works for you. The other thing I've been really getting into is podcasts. And I've listed a few here that I think you may find fun and interesting. Mm-hmm. Fanfic, Jove, is another thing that helps distract me in the shit times.
Hey, I have a podcast to add to your list.
I just did five, and if you want to add, you have to put it in the comments.
Fine, I'm putting it in the comments. That's Jesus, cool. I just wanted to tell you about it, for fuck's sake.
Okay, nope. You can tell me.
Nope, move on.
Okay. Effin' Birds, one of my very favorite Twitter feeds and places to buy irreverent, snarky, curse word-laden mugs with pictures of birds.
Yeah, I would never search that out. Ever, because, you know, birds and me being terrified, but I could totally do with one of those mugs.
Oh my God, they're so good. I sent one to RG, I sent one to my sisters, like, everybody's been getting effing birds mugs, because I'm like, this is the world we live in right now.
I love this. I am a goddamn delight.
That's the one I sent to my sister. So, okay. Other things you can do. Watch your favorite funny movies again. Have some friends over and get a bunch of popcorn and just watch your fave movies that make you laugh and feel good.
Because,
I mean, the purpose of this is to get out of your heads a little bit and get outside. Put your device away and get outside. Take a walk. Take a hike. Take a road trip. The healing power of being outside. It's a thing, my friends. Actual science verifies that. And then I offered some links to apps. One of the things that I do if I'm getting really fucking stressed is I will get my phone out and I will put on my app with wave sounds. You can pick various beaches from around the world and you can listen to waves for, like, however long you want. And that always helps bring my blood pressure down.
You know, that would send my blood pressure right through the fucking roof. I would spend literally the entire time going, why the fuck did somebody record waves? Why the fuck did somebody upload waves? Like, I wouldn't get it.
Gosh, and try it.
And no, I can promise you, so I would not enjoy it, Andy.
God, I love it.
It would make me insane. It would make me absolutely insane. I don't even like listening to the waves when I'm at the ocean.
can't. Jeez, I
don't even know what is wrong with you, girl. Mm. Okay.
I really enjoy standing in front of my lathe and watching the thing spin around, which I'm sure would not work for most people.
Damn. Listening to waves? Sad.
No. No.
Sad.
It's not even like, it's not even a beat you can dance to. It's just fucking waves.
That's not the point. It's like.
You know what? I am really glad that you found something that makes you happy.
No, it's just, you know, sometimes too, like when I was at Klexicon and the dance party went on till 4 a.m. and you could hear it. I was almost right next to it. So, fuck yeah. I put in my headphones, turned on my waves, and went to sleep.
Oh, I'm not, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm a big fan of headphones and, you know, earplugs. I just wouldn't ever think to include waves as part of that.
Well, there's white noise, there's rain, there's all kinds of different things you can pick if you want.
No to all of that.
So.
Just no.
Get away from your devices for a while, friends. That means the news and all the toxic bullshit going on, all the nutty, frenetic, constant checking and fear of missing out. Just stop it. Connect with yourselves, with your loved ones, and with others in your community. Get creative. Have a barbecue, a block party. Go for a bike ride with some friends. Meet at a coffee house without your devices and talk to each other.
What? I love everything on that list.
So, there you go.
That's... You know what I do to reconnect to make sure I stay in touch with, like, the friends that I have that live locally? Like, one of them, I go, like, once a month, we trade like... projects. Like, I'll go to her house 1 month and she'll come to my house 1 month. It's only one day a month, but I can go years without seeing her if I don't do that, because, you know, we're both fairly antisocial.
And well, one of the things that I recommend is to have like a monthly dinner and a rotate houses.
Yeah, that's cool if all your friends are part of the same social group. But, like, you know, my friends are all like this eclectic mishmash. None of them know each other.
Oh, that's
isn't that weird? That's weird. Like, seriously, I have 4 different people that I make a point to, like, do something with monthly. None of them, if they have met each other, there's 2 of them that know each other and they don't like each other at all. I need better friends.
Or you just need to have a potluck and invite them all over.
Mm.
And your networks.
I could. I won't, but I could. Do you know why?
I mean, I'm just saying. It'll help expand your networks.
I'm still remodeling my main bathroom.
Oh, never mind.
Moving on. Sorry, that was too much. Okay.
May 3rd, friends. Also, we do have a call for submissions. Fans of FemSlash, here it is. Violet Surprise. FemSlash Fest. It's a short play festival that reimagines the possibilities for well-known, well-loved, female-identifying characters to be in queer relationships. Mm-hmm. Dun, dun, dun!
Yeah.
So all the info is there. It is curated and produced by Iris Solat and Allison Fradkin in collaboration with Otherworld Theater, and will be presented in Chicago, August 9th through 11th, 2019. So submissions are currently open, and you need to get those in by June 8th. Friends, and you'll be notified around June 22nd. And there's a website and get all kinds of groovy info. FemSlashFest.
Yeah.
Dun, and one more thing.
Yeah. Say things.
The Golden Crown Literary Society has released its list of finalists for the upcoming awards ceremony. You can find that at goldencrown.org.
Cool.
Congrats to everybody, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone who's on that finalist list. Hard work, well done, and good luck.
People I love are on that list.
I know.
Yeah, Oh, well, I had one more thing. This is just a housekeeping thing. I wanted to remind people of the things that they can do on our blog, because it's more than just read the blog daily. Yeah. So we do provide calls for submission. So if you have one that you want us to post, just send it in using the contact form. And that form is available, you know, there's the headings up at the top under Contact Us, the main contact form, that's where you would send that in. You can listen to our podcast. You can find a listing of a bunch of free reads, so a bunch of short stories that are free for you to read on people's websites.
This is not a listing of everything that's available on, you know, Archive of Our Own. That's not what it is. It's published it's published authors who have free stuff available on their website. So if you know of an author who has stuff and you would like to see it included, hey, fill out that contact us form and send in the information. We'll add it. And if you're just looking for something fun to read, click on that link and go find some stuff. Every month, Andy does the new releases and the coming up. So if you want to know what new stuff is available in the world of lesbian fiction, there's a tab for that because we're badass like that.
I'm going to break in. I've been doing, you know, feminist fiction and also queer fiction. So yeah. If it's womanish, queerish, womanish, I try to put it on there.
Yeah, I love that. I love everything about it. I periodically get links from Andy saying, you need to buy this for Noah. Like, you know, there's like, here's the workbook for the queer kid. Like, and it's just stuff that they can work through. Did I tell you that I got him one of the 12-step things from NA? Because, like, working through those things, it's just like guidelines to how to live a good life and be a good person.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. Okay. The other thing that you can do on our website is if you have something that you want to advertise, you can do that. It costs $5 a month. We use that to buy things during the Hootenanny. The Hootenanny, for those of you who don't know, is a 12-day giveaway when we give away the whole fucking house, the barn, and all the elves, too.
So that's true. And books somewhere
yes,
in there.
Yes.
We just give shit away. That's what we do.
Yeah, last year we had enough money from the advertising that we were able to give away a $20 Amazon gift card all 12 days, one each day, which was cool.
See?
Yeah.
And that's what we use it for.
Yeah. And if you have something.
Jove and I are not out, like, you know, partying on that money.
No. Hey, give me your $5. I'm going to go get a 40 of malt liquor and drink it out of a packed paper bag.
I know, right?
Yeah. Also, if you have something that you are putting together for charity, like we've got a couple of anthologies that you know, are strictly to benefit charity, you know, I'll put that up for free. Just let me know about it, and I won't charge you. Just let me know that it's a charitable thing.
Yeah.
Same thing, there's Black Women Writing in the South, October 10th through the 11th. That's just a cool women-focused event, and that's free advertising. So if you have anything like that,
yes,
we'll very happily put it up.
That goes up for free.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are you putting your effort and your love into the community and making the world of literature a better place. So we want to support that effort. Yeah, that's it. That was just my housekeeping. I'm good. Are
that's
you good?
Awesome. I'm done.
We've been talking for like over an hour.
Oh, Jesus Christ. We had to catch up though.
Yeah.
Sorry, dear listeners, but we love you.
We're not allowed to miss a week again because.
I know, right? We just got too crazy.
It all just goes crazy. And by the way, in that week that we missed, there was a Venn diagram from Ashley Bartlett. So
Ashley did an awesome, and it was my convo with Ashley. Yeah. Thanks, Ashley, for the awesome Venn diagram.
So
we should talk again.
You know why she did that? She like texted me. She's all like, now I have to do another Venn diagram. I'm like, you don't have to. And she goes, I do too. You complain if I don't add pictures. Okay.
Well, you and I can just put a picture on her blog.
Well, she can put a picture. I don't need her to draw a Venn diagram. I'm not going to add a picture. Ashley, if you're listening to this, forget what Andy just said. I'm not adding
Ashley,
pictures.
Ashley, I'll put a picture for you.
No, you can. You're a grown-up.
I will draw a grown-ass woman.
People trust you to educate their teenagers. So you can find your own picture.
God.
Anyway, dear listener, this has been the Week in Review for Women in Words. Thank you so much for listening. I am Jove Bell here with Andy Marquette. You can find us online at womenwords.org. Since you've stayed with us so long today, we would really appreciate it if you would click on like or subscribe or any of those happy little buttons. And until next week, thank you so much for listening.